Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio, and this show is a celebration of baby boomers who are embracing life as we grow older. And hands down, one of the very best ways to celebrate our lives is to literally broaden our horizons and explore the wonders of our planet through travel. And that's why I am especially excited to introduce our guests today, Kelsey Perry and Laurel Ostro. They're both joining us to share all about an organization that's both highly regarded and well-known to us boomers, and that, of course, is Rhodes Scholar. Kelsey is the Director of Public Relations for Rhodes Scholar, and I've enjoyed the great pleasure of interviewing her before, and believe me, her enthusiasm and wealth of information are going to get you running to pack your own suitcase. And our second guest, Laurel, is a retired professor of nursing and a nurse practitioner from St. Paul, Minnesota. Laurel has been on 10 programs with Rhodes Scholar and volunteers with the organization as an ambassador. So both of these women have been kind enough to share their time and experiences so that you can start making your own travel plans through this amazing organization. I'm doing that myself, and I can't wait to find out more from you both. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Exactly.
Well, Kelsey, you know it's always my great pleasure. And Laurel, I thank you for taking your time to share your experiences with us, too. But I'm going to start with Kelsey. And Kelsey, as I mentioned, you've been on the show a couple of times. So I am, as I mentioned, am familiar with Rhodes Scholar and have booked my own trip. But can you tell our listeners who might not know so much about the organization a little bit about the background of Rhodes Scholar and some of the travel programs you offer?
Of course. So we at Rhodes Scholar was founded in 1975 as Elder Hostel, so a lot of people still remember that name from their parents or maybe aunts and uncles who may have traveled with us back in the day. But we've evolved over the last 50 years to be the world leader in educational travel for older adults, is what we like to say. So we now host educational adventures in on all 7 continents in nearly 100 countries all across the U.S. We're not quite up to 50 states right now, I think, but just about. And our programs are group travel programs. So, you know, you find the trip that you like, you sign up, you enroll in the program, and then everything is pretty much included in the price except for the flight. So, you know, the hotels, the group leader that's with you for the extent of the program, all of the lectures, the field trips, and the meals and everything is pretty much all included. And but we're different than a commercial tour operator in that we are a nonprofit organization. So we have an educational mission. And everything we do is devoted to that educational mission. And so when you travel with us, you know that all of our programs will be focused on learning. So when you come on a Rhodes Scholar program, you know, you're not going to be sitting on a beach reading a book or shopping for a whole week. You're going to be there to learn with your comrades. So our participants are all over 50. The average age is 72. So we really specialize in offering travel programs for that demographic.
Well, and to me, that just makes the whole travel experience so much better. I've done a lot of traveling with my husband, you know, and you look at these beautiful sites and all. But if you don't get that educational background and all, they're pretty, you know, you're looking at these wonderful buildings mm-hmm. or churches or whatever. But it's such a much richer experience when you get some of the history and some of the architectural details or something like that. So it's wonderful to offer that.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Well, and I know with Rhodes Scholar, you definitely, you know, you have a broad section of mature people in your tours, and some of us come as couples, some of us might come as women friends or gentlemen friends or whatever, but you also have opportunities for solo travelers on your program, and that's becoming, we're going to focus a little bit more on that today because a lot of us seniors are traveling solo, so tell us a little bit about how Rhodes Scholar accommodates those of us who are going out on our own.
Yeah, so solo travel has really been on the rise for us, and I think across the travel industry as a whole for the past 10 years. And it really spiked in our first season coming out of COVID. But 25 to 30% of our travelers go solo every year, and so we kind of consider ourselves, you know, experts in solo traveler. We're in solo travel. We offer a collection of programs with no single supplements, as well as we have a new collection of programs offered just for solo travelers, which is really exciting. And, you know, yeah. We hear overwhelmingly how welcomed and comfortable solo travelers feel traveling with us. So, you know, I think that's generally, we're very welcoming to solo travelers, whether you're meeting other solos on our programs or whether you're interacting with couples or friends traveling together. I think people feel really welcomed and comfortable traveling solo with us. So maybe Laurel can talk about that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And yes, I would like to speak with Laurel now because you've been on 10 trips. That's quite a level of experience. But before we get into your travel experience, tell us a little bit about your background. You were a professor, you were a nurse practitioner, and you've done a lot of travel. So with all your professional responsibilities, how did you catch the travel bug?
Well, thank you for asking. I actually came to nursing, I'm very grateful that I did, 10 years after I got out of my undergraduate program. And I started my professional career, I would say, with an airline, with a charter airline. And the benefits of that when you're in your early 20s and having the access to trips many places, got my parents traveling too. But they actually did Elder Hostel. That's a different topic. We can talk about that. That was also influential to getting me to be very excited about Rhodes Scholar. But I think that early experience working for an airline, and then also my rather serendipitous signing up for Peace Corps in my mid-20s and serving in the Peace Corps. And so that was quite an experience, living in another country for 2.5 years. And also living in Japan, my new husband at the time was, you know, just started a job, and I said, we need to go somewhere. And so we took our 9-month-old son, and we taught in Japan for 5 years. So, yeah, I do really have the travel bug, but I think that history would speak to the fact that perhaps my standards for cultural immersion, not to be arrogant in any way, I'm very humble about this, but that my standards for that experience abroad are pretty high. And so I think that's a tribute to Rhodes Scholar, that educational aspect and in the sense of being abroad culturally, as I just returned from a solo trip to India, you know, that speaks to the quality of the education and the experience.
Well, Laurel, I'm just going to begin with my true admiration of you for being a person in the Peace Corps, because we're probably somewhat similar in age, and everybody I knew, we were all in high school, oh, we're going to go to the Peace Corps. None of us did. You did. I mean, my gosh, what an experience that was. And two, like you say, opened your eyes to various aspects of, you know, different cultures and different people and different, you know, lifetimes here on our own planet. So no wonder you caught the travel bug. But now you mentioned your parents.
I do want to throw this in, Eileen, real quickly, that I also served again at the age of 60. So for your listeners who, you know, if they can leave and they can, there certainly is also a lot of place for older adults. My parents were also in the Peace Corps in their late 60s, early 70s. So anyway, just a throw out there.
Well, if you've got that kind of a background, and it sounds like you do, not only you but your parents, I mean, my gosh, I can see why. I know in all modesty you claim, but your standard for travel and learning and experiences is rather high, I would think. So tell us about maybe your first trip with Rhodes Scholar, where you went, what you did, and how you became such a fan of this organization.
Well, as I said, I really had such a positive feeling about Elder Hostel from my parents' experience. And I took to India with me a notebook that my mother had taken notes on the architecture, if I can remember, it was Jungian philosophy, the architecture of Arizona. There's one other, I think, and there were still some notes in it, and I took it with me to India. So that I had as a background. My first trip, actually, was I was drawn to more active trips. It was a solo trip for me to British Columbia. And so it was Victoria and Vancouver, and it was hiking, biking, and kayaking. And it was just the diversity of the experience, of the especially the hiking is really something I enjoy a lot, and the beauty of the area. But then we did have time to visit museums and other parks at our choice. So it just – and again, I had a roommate matching. I do want to put a shout-out to that because – at that point, I did not, you know, I wanted to have a roommate. It was more reasonable at that time. And so I had a lovely roommate. We had a great time. But respecting each other's boundaries, doing things, it worked out very well for me. And I actually did that twice. I did that in my first two trips and had lovely roommates both times. So I think, again, it was the education we learned about Native American, the Native American influence and efforts to reconcile with Native American folks in Western Canada, you know, in British Columbia, as well as kayaking and, you know, biking and just it was just a lot of fun. And I do have to also say the food was marvelous everywhere we go. I do have special dietary preferences. I'm not super strict, but I am vegan in my preferences, and that can be tricky. And Road Scholar has done a marvelous job with that. I think I use Road Scholar anyway. I just work with it. But, you know, everything is done, I think, to really individualize things, which I think is very, it is group-focused but individual-focused. And we had somebody on this India trip who had to have a low-salt diet. And if you can imagine in an Indian cuisine, any cuisine, and they just work so hard to accommodate her. So, again, I can digress too much. But I think, again, it's sort of a contrast between the group. Of course, the benefits to the group and what's, you know, what are the most interesting things to see and making sure people are happy. But also if you do have an individual request or even beyond diet, there's a real attempt made to accommodate that.
Well, you're speaking to a fellow vegan, so that I appreciate very much. And I think a lot of us, especially as we grow older, you know, there's certain food allergies and things like that that people have that, you know, I know that they ask these ahead of time. But it's wonderful that they accommodate all of that.
Yeah, I felt, I mean, the food, and just going back to 2018, that food, with the food is almost uniformly marvelous everywhere I've gone, every trip I've been on. So I think a lot of people think it's budget, and really it is. I think it's a good value, but you do feel very pampered, at least I always have on these trips.
Well, another thing you brought up is
– Oh, go ahead.
Please go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say the marvelous cuisine recently of going to the marketplace. I mean, to me, it was one of the highlights of the recent trip, going to the market with two young women and buying the food for our meal and then making that food with a local family, a woman and her daughter, and we all kind of participated in that. And it, to me, you know, again, as a, you know, former Peace Corps volunteer or just a person interested in true intercultural exchange, that was very meaningful. And we did two others of those. This was a longer trip, so we were able to do two other family meals. But this one was really kind of special because it was just a small group of us. So as appropriate, I do believe Road Scholar will break you into, you know, it's usually a group of, I've been in groups with Road Scholar between 12 and 24. This was 24, for this experience, we broke into groups of six. So, so just speaking of food.
Wow, that is so, what a wonderful experience you had. And, Laurel, I also wanted to kind of refer back to what you were saying about, you know, that your first trip was that you were very active and all that. Well, not all of us seniors are blessed with your abilities with that, but they do have, I've noticed, where it's very clear the activity level of the trips you're going to be going on.
I think
I can speak. I can speak to that too.
We have
a range of activity levels, so we try to accommodate people of all physical abilities and desires for challenge. So if you go on our website, you can actually use our search filters and search by exactly which programs are at the appropriate activity level for you. And we have different activity levels for more of the active outdoor programs versus, you know, like the city and cultural programs that aren't necessarily physically active. So we really try to accommodate everybody as much as possible. Part of our mission of trying to reach as many older adults as we can. And we also have online programs too. So for those who might not be able to, you know, be physically active to go out and travel anymore, those are opportunities as well.
Yes, I've noticed that. I mean, there's a lot coming up that actually in the next couple of weeks, because I was been on the website, and really exciting destinations that you can go to from the luxury of your own armchair. It's just so many options that you have. But and I want to get back to you, Kelsey, in a minute, but I've got a couple more questions for Laurel.
Sure.
And then one of them is so you've been to India, you've been to British Columbia. Do you have any other favorite destinations you might want to share?
Well, I've enjoyed all the trips. Going to the Azores, again, that was a hiking trip, but that was really an interesting. The islands, I think it's 600 miles off of Portugal, but they're Portuguese. What was just an incredibly beautiful experience in terms of landscape and outdoors. But again, you know, getting back to the activity level, there is another trip to the Azores, which I'm sure is active, but would not be hiking per se. And so I have noticed that myself, that there are a number of trips. But yeah, the Azores were great. Switzerland recently was wonderful. My second trip as a solo was to the Redwoods. And I had not been to the Redwoods, so I was able to, I drove out there by myself and visited with a cousin on the way, and then flew into Eureka, this little town right by the, in Northern California. And that was a beautiful trip, too, just, again, just being outdoors. And the guides, the guides are so wonderful. And going back to the Azores, we had a guide who was Brazilian and British. And he's also a pop star. I mean, I don't think he's like a major pop star people would hear, but he's on Spotify. And just, you know, so much fun. And so, you know, obviously could speak Portuguese and take care of our needs for us. And just the camaraderie with other participants. And so that was really fascinating. But they're beautiful national trips. We also, you know, that was one I went to with my partner. We went to Oregon and hiked there. So you're opening a can of beauty here with that question.
Well, I'm loving that can of beauty. And now, Kelsey, I want to ask you to add to all this wonderful information that we're getting. There was a study done, I guess, that Rhodes Scholar did about solo traveling and others. So can you tell us a little bit about the results of the study and how it came to be?
Of course. So it all really started with a blog. I work with a freelance blogger who is one of our participants, and she's become a friend over the years. She actually came on a program with me and my mom in Quebec City last year. And she, years ago, wrote a blog about, it was called 10 Reasons That I Travel Without My Husband or something like that. And so, and I just loved that. It was, you know, it's got that humor to it. But it was really an insightful blog. And I started to hear more and more just kind of anecdotally about more women who were traveling without their husbands. We have a Facebook group called Women of Rhodes Scholar, and it's like 25,000 people in the group now. And so I heard a lot in that group, that women were traveling without their husbands. And so I always kind of assumed that our solo female travelers were mostly, you know, widows or divorcees or single women. And so I decided to dig more into that data and just see really what the numbers were. And we did a survey as well. And we actually found that at least 60% of our solo travelers are married folks, mostly women, who are traveling without their partners. And so I was just fascinated by that. I mean, I knew that there was going to be a good chunk of people, but 60% was higher than I ever could have imagined. So I just find that really fascinating. I find it empowering, honestly, that these women are, you know, not letting their husbands hold them back, and they're just going out and seeing the world. And I think it really says a lot about the boomer generation that we are serving now. I think just boomer women are so independent, and, you know, and also we're sort of at this place in the world and society where, you know, it's sort of more, you know, acceptable for women to travel solo, and it's not such a taboo thing. So I just think it's really a mark of the time that we're in.
Well, Kelsey, that floors me to 60%. And I myself mm-hmm. am a widow, so I've been doing, you know, you get used to traveling solo. But I think, too, back on the time, you know, my husband and I, you know, that phrase, oh, you complete me, you know, we're the same. You know, no, you know, we had different interests and different things that we wanted to do. So I just think it's great. And rather than, you know, be upset that you can't do what you want to do, take a Rhodes Scholar trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
then
and
I'll
it adds
shout
that
out
sort
to,
of element. Go ahead. I think it also adds that element of you're going with a group, and so you're not completely solo. You're solo
you're
maybe without
alone.
Your spouse, but you're not alone. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Laura, you were going to add to that too.
Oh yeah, no, I just I was just going to throw out that there was a gentleman on our trip who was traveling without his wife. This wasn't the kind of trip she wanted to take. So I don't know how many I don't know how many gentlemen are in that situation, but I would imagine even some gentlemen, men who do it. But yeah, I think that from the beginning I felt like there's such a friendly attitude. If you're alone, you're not alone. So I think that's very much the case. And people who participate in these Rhodes Scholar trips are really a self-selecting group. They want to learn. They're open to other people. They're curious about other people. Where are you from? And, even domestically, like, what is your, you know, you're from Boston. Oh, that's such a beautiful city. Oh, you know, maybe I'll make it to St. Paul sometime. You know, there's a real sense of immediate connection. I've found that on all my trips, so.
Well, you know, I think, like you say, I mean, the friendship, the camaraderie, the food, the activity level that's set for you. And then, too, I mean, there's a built-in sense of camaraderie, not only because you're traveling together, but because you have similar interests. You've all decided you want to go to this location. It's just, I can see for solo travelers especially, but for, you know, any traveler, actually, it's just a wonderful experience. And, boy, I could keep both of you on this forever, but I have to be aware of your time, so I don't want to do that. But Kelsey, this has been such a wonderful conversation, and can you tell our listeners where they can learn more about Rhodes Scholar and find out more about those wonderful programs you offer?
You can head over to our website at rhodesscholar.org, and that's rhodesscholar.org. And if you're a solo traveler, then you can search for the word solo in the search bar, and that will pull up all kinds of information, resources, and collections for solo travelers. But you can also use our search tool if you're not a solo traveler to kind of start to figure out exactly which trip that is right for you. We have lots of search filters by mobility level and price and everything that you're looking for that can help you find the right program for you. So check it out.
I definitely will. And I will tell you from personal experience, once you get on that website, just plan to be immersed in that, because I want to go here. Oh, this one looks good. Oh, that's fabulous. Oh, my gosh.
It can be a rabbit hole.
Yeah, really. And speaking of fabulous, I've been looking forward to this conversation. Kelsey, you're always such a delightful person, filled with information and enthusiasm. And Laurel, you have a brand new super fan. I mean, my gosh, what a life you've led. And
thank you
for sharing all this information with
us. That's fantastic. I can take all the super fans I have. I mean, I can get.
Well, I hope to see you on one of those trips. We can hike together, like that, and eat vegan food together.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, well, I appreciate it. That'd be fun. You have a wonderful
trip. I'm sure you listeners out there are as enthusiastic and as excited as I am. To learn more about Rhodes Scholar, I'm going to give that website one more time, R-O-A-D, Scholar, SCHOLAR.org, and it is a treasure trove of useful information, a feast for the eyes, and you could start planning your own ultimate getaway. Oh, go down that rabbit hole that Kelsey and I were laughing about, because, boy, you will be very excited once you get there. So thank you again to my wonderful guests, and until next time, this is Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio, saying I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.